People have always told stories. Tales of princesses, knights in shining armor, and everyday heroes. We in the Satanic Players Society tread a darker path. Join us as we bring you creatures of the night, the things lurking in the shadows, and the untold horrors of your mind. If you're brave enough, spend some time with our myths, legends, and monsters. Hi, and welcome to the first episode of Myths, Legends, and Monsters. This is a new segment of the Satanic Player Society, where I'll be covering European lore and myths. So, let's get things started. With a lot of the news of today involving Russia, I thought it would be interesting to take a closer look at their lore. Russia is, as most European countries, old and rich in history, and are therefore inevitably rich in lore and myths. Before I begin, let me just apologize in advance if I mispronounce any names or words. The main lore that caught my eye was the story about the Baba Yaga. The word Baba has been used to describe women as fortune tellers, witches, and meaning simply older women, at least old enough to marry. The more known word of today, babushka, meaning grandmother or old woman, derives from baba. As to what yaga means, there is no clear consensus as to its etymology. Baba Yaga is a witch, and she's not one of those good-looking, deceiving witches. She is hideous and, quite frankly, terrifying to look at. She's usually described as being old, ugly, short, dirty with unkempt hair. She has bony legs, iron teeth, cold eyes, and a long, crooked nose. Not only is she terrifying, but so is her dwelling. You can find her deep in the forest in a decrepit wooden hut. The hut rests on giant chicken legs, and it can move around in the forest, making it harder to find her. In some stories, the hut has windows, and the windows serve as an extension of her eyes, enabling her to see all around the house, while in other stories there aren't any windows and no doors. Baba Yaga often travels in a giant mortal, wielding a pestle. She sweeps away her tracks with a broom made out of silver birch. The usual telltale sign that Baba Yaga is near is the start of a whirlwind. There are many stories out there about Baba Yaga, and while she might be described as ugly, I would say that, all in all, her personality is neither good nor bad. In some stories, she kidnaps children to eat them, which explains the iron teeth. And in others, she helps people who seek at her advice, although they are usually warned to be cautious. Many of the stories bear resemblance to the ones we know of today, such as Hansel and Gretel, Cinderella, and a more obscure Swedish one from my region called Sotekuna, meaning Black Witch. Baba Yaga is believed to have appeared for the first time in books dating back to the 1700s, but I believe she has been around for longer than that, albeit not in a literary format. Since Baba Yaga is such an old character that is still widely known in Slavic lore, I was wondering if she perhaps has a purpose. Like many stories involving children, fortune tellers, witches, and deep woods, I personally believe that they serve to warn children not to wander too far off into the woods. Many of these stories involve children going hungry or having a wicked stepmother. While it is a bit unfair to brand all stepmothers wicked, it could be symbolic for new and unknown things being dangerous and that children should be grateful for what they have. In other words, these stories tell children that it could be worse, and to appreciate what they already have. Another aspect of Baba Yaga is that she's not only described as a witch, but sometimes as a fortune teller, whom people look to for advice. It made me think of the witch trials we had in Europe, as well as in America, and how often women who were, perhaps, a little bit different, knew about herbal remedies, or who were simply misunderstood were considered dangerous. I would say that Baba Yaga and similar stories are reflective of their time, and that we should not forget about our past. History does have a tendency to repeat itself, especially the more suppressing parts of it, which is why forgetfulness of past orthodoxies is a sin. Baba Yaga, along with other witches, is a reminder of how being different meant that you were treated with caution and that you were to be avoided. While the stories about Baba Yaga might be old, her legend still lives on and she has a place in modern culture, more specifically, in the John Wick movies. John Wick, most played by Keanu Reeves, is a hitman who has ties to the Russian mob. John Wick is nicknamed the Baba Yaga by Viggo, the Russian mob leader, who is played by the Swedish actor Mikael Nyqvist. Since Viggo is of Russian descent, he has surely grown up with the stories of Baba Yaga. Equating John Wick with Baba Yaga can only mean that Viggo carried a tremendous amount of admiration as well as fear of John Wick and his capabilities. I would like to conclude this by saying that I believe that the legend of Baba Yaga is still being kept alive through sheer entertainment value. Not everything has a utilitarian purpose, but the purpose is rather to just appreciate something for what it is, which is a good story. Who doesn't love hearing scary stories? I know I do. I often sought them out once I was able to read, and I absolutely loved it when grown-ups would tell me scary stories. We enjoy being scared. It's a safe way of vicariously experiencing something frightening while being safe. It tickles the mind, and it gives us a rush. Now that I've given a short introduction to Baba Yaga, I think it would be unfair if I ended the episode without telling you a story involving her. I found one that bears resemblance to stories like Hansel and Gretel and the Swedish Sotekuna. It's not exactly scary for grown-ups, but I imagine that it could give just the right amount of fright to a child without traumatizing him or her. The story is written by Catherine Pyle, and you can find a link to the story in the show notes. I hope you enjoy it. There was once upon a time a man and wife who had no child, though they wished for one above all things. One day, when the husband was away, the wife laid a big stick of wood in the cradle and began to rock and sing to it. Presently she looked and saw that the stick had arms and legs. Filled with joy, she began to rock and sing to it again. She kept it up for a long time, and when she looked again, there, instead of the stick of wood, was a fine little boy in the cradle. The woman took the child and nursed him. And after that, he was to her as her own son. She named him Peter and made a little suit of clothes and a cloth cap for him to wear. One day, Peter put on his little coat and went out in a boat to fish in the river. At noon, his mother went down to the bank of the stream and called to him, "Peter, Peter, bring your boat to shore, for I have brought a little cake for you to eat." Then Peter said to his boat, little boat, float a little nearer. Little boat, float a little nearer." The boat floated up to the shore. Peter took the cake and went back to his fishing again. Now, it so happened that a Baba Yaga, a terrible witch, was hiding in the bushes nearby. She heard all that passed between the woman and the child. So after the woman had gone home, the Baba Yaga waited for a while, and then she went down to the edge of the river, hid herself there, and called out, "Peter, Peter, bring your boat to shore, for I have brought another little cake for you." But when Peter heard her voice, which was very coarse and loud, he knew it must be a Baba Yaga calling him. So he said, little boat, float a little farther. Little boat, float a little farther." Then the boat floated away, still farther out of the Baba Yaga's reach. The old witch soon guessed what was the matter, and she rushed off to a blacksmith, who lived over beyond the forest.
"Blacksmith, blacksmith, forge me a little fine voice as quickly as you can," she cried, "or I will put you in my mortar and grind you to pieces with my pestle."
The blacksmith was frightened. He made her a little fine voice as quickly as he could, and the Baba Yaga took it and hastened back to the river. There, she hid herself close to the shore and called in her little new voice, "Peter, Peter, bring your boat to the shore, for I have brought another little cake for you to eat." When Peter heard the Baba Yaga calling him in her fine small voice, he thought it was his mother. So he said to his boat, "Little boat, little boat, float a little nearer. Little boat, float a little nearer." Then the little boat came to the land. Peter looked all about, but saw no one. He wondered where his mother had gone and stepped out of his boat to look for her. Immediately the Baba Yaga seized him. Like a whirlwind, she rushed away with him through the forest and never stopped till she reached her own house. There, she locked him up in a cage behind the house to keep him until he grew fat. After she had locked him up, she went back into the house and her little cat was there.
"Mistress," said the cat, "I have cooked a dinner for you and I'm very hungry. Will you not give me something to eat?"
"All that I leave, that you can have," answered the Baba Yaga.
She sat down at the table and ate everything up except for one small bone. That was all the cat had. Meanwhile at home, the mother waited and waited for Peter to come back from the river with his fish. Then at last she went down to look for him. There was his boat drawn up on the shore, empty, and all around it were marks of the Baba Yaga's feet, and the trees and bushes were broken where she had rushed away through the forest. Then the mother knew that a witch had carried off the little boy. She went back home, weeping and wailing. The woman had a very faithful servant, and when this girl heard her mistress wailing, she asked her what the matter was. The woman told her all that she had seen down at the river, and how she was sure a Baba Yaga had flown away with Peter.
"Mistress," said the girl, "there is no reason for you to despair. Just give me a little wheaten cake to keep the life in me, and I will set out and find Peter, even though I have to travel to the end of the world." Then the woman was comforted. She gave the servant the cake, and the girl set out in search of Peter. She went on and on, and after a while she came to the Baba Yaga's house. It stood on fowl's legs and turned whichever way the wind blew. The girl knocked at the door, and the Baba Yaga opened it.
"What do you want here?"
she asked.
"Now, are you seeking work or shunning work?"
"I am seeking work," answered the girl. "Can you give me anything to do?" The witch scowled at her terribly.
"You may come in," she said, "and set my house in order, but do not go peeping and prying about, or it will be the worse for you."
The girl went in and began to set the house in order, while the Baba Yaga flew away into the forest, riding in a mortar, urging it along with a pestle, and sweeping away the traces with a broom. After the witch had gone, the little cat said to the girl, "Give me, I beg of you, a little food, for I'm starving with hunger." "Here is a little cake. It is all I have, but I will give it to you in heaven's name." The little cat took the cake and ate all up, every last crumb. "Now listen," said the cat. "I know why you are here and that you are searching for the little boy named Peter. He is in a cage behind the house, but you can do nothing to help him now. Wait until after dinner when the Baba Yaga goes to sleep. Then rub her eyes with pitch so that she cannot get them open, and you may escape with the child through the forest." The girl thanked the little cat and promised to do in all things as it bade her. When the Baba Yaga came home,
"Well, have you been peeping and prying?"
she asked. "That I have not," answered the girl. The Baba Yaga sat down, ate everything there was on the table, bones and all. Then she lay down and went to sleep. She snored terribly. The girl took some pitch and smeared the witch's eyelids with it.
Then she went out to where Peter was and led him out of the cage, and they ran away through the forest together. The Baba Yaga slept for a long time. At last, she yawned and woke, but she could not get her eyes open. They were stuck tight with pitch. She was in a terrible rage. She stamped about and roared terribly.
"I know who has done this," she cried. "And as soon as I get my eyes open, I will go after her and tear her to pieces."
Then she called to the cat to come and scratch her eyes open with its sharp little claws. "That I will not," answered the cat. "As long as I have been with you, you have given me nothing but hard words and bones to gnaw. But she stroked my fur and gave me a cake to eat. Scratch your own eyes open, for you shall have no help from me." And then the little cat ran away into the forest. But the faithful servant and Peter journeyed safely on through the forest, and you may guess whether or not the mother was glad to have her little Peter safe home again. As to the old Baba Yaga, she may be shouting and stamping and rubbing the pitch from my eyes yet, for all I know. And that, as they say, is that. I like this story, and I hope you did too. It reminds me of the stories I used to listen to when I grew up. Through the eyes of a child, the world is usually a simple one with less nuances. There's good people, and there's bad people. As you grow up, you realize that there's a lot more nuances than you'd originally thought. Today, I have empathy for Baba Yaga. She's different, and difference can be a scary thing for people. Difference, or the unknown, is the Baba Yaga for adults, which can manifest itself into fear. If you ever come across Baba Yaga, in whichever way she presents herself, take a moment and appreciate her for what she is. Difference adds a bit of variety, which is, as they say, the spice of life, and a slight fright gives you an exciting thrill as you venture into the unknown. Thank you for listening, and make sure you tune in to next month's episode. I wish you sweet nightmares.